podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Good. Cool.
Right on.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back to the podcast Greater Than Yourself. My name is John Barleycorn. With me today is co-host Mrs. Jones.
Hello.
How are ya?
I'm good. That hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi.
No, all of it. All of this.
Wake up.
Yeah. And joining us is the esteemed Leia O.
Hello. Hi.
How's it going?
All good. All good. Great to be here. As always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Leia. Wait, what does the O stand for?
One Leia day at a time.
I can't.
Oh, Dad. Leia, oh, Dad.
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay.
Right, I can't break anonymity.
Right.
You can't ask me.
Sorry.
I mean,
it's not
there's
allowed.
A rule for that. Rule 162. Yeah.
The 164 rules. It's toward the end, but it's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So welcome back. I guess what we saw each other a couple weeks ago for one of the episodes. But this is your first time back as a guest since last season. And you're bringing a burning desire, I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
So I was thinking of talking about the God word today. That's my burning desire, the God word.
Yeah, the pamphlet, the God word?
Or just the whole thing?
Or just
is there a pamphlet? There is a pamphlet?
I think there is a pamphlet called the God word.
Because I hear this in meetings, but specifically I hear this from sponsees who are like, I don't like the God word. And I'm like, what? The God, just the whole the God word? It's already like, you know, it's just bad. It's stinky. It's the slimy thing. It's the, you know, the shite. The bad word, the God word. You know, it's like the
God word. Is it Adonai? Yahweh? Oh, what are we talking
about?
Yeah. Do we say the G word?
Exactly. The C word. The God
word. Okay. Yeah. You know? When you say the C word, we know what you mean.
Right.
Right.
But same the God with word, G word.
The G word, we don't use the G word because I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm going to Google that in the Urban Dictionary afterwards.
Another G word.
There's probably a bunch of G words in Urban Dictionary, none of which have anything to do with what we're talking about.
The thing is that when you say the F word or the C word or supposedly the G word, everybody knows what it means. But when you say the God word, especially when you're new to AA, you have no idea. And you're an agnostic or atheist, like I was, you don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not, it sounds weird, right?
Sure.
So, yeah. So just a bit of background. And I think I've mentioned that on this podcast. I came to AA at like a total atheist, not even an agnostic. And it's atheism that I worked, you know, hard on
right.
for at least 20
practiced
years.
Atheism.
So, it takes effort.
Yes, it does. It does. It does. Definitely a religious conviction, right?
Yeah.
I really didn't want that taken away from me. So I remember looking at AA and different pages and looking at the steps. And there's a lot of God word in the steps, like a lot. You know, you cannot read the 12 steps of AA as they stand without cutting your, you know, yourself on the God word,
right,
very early on. And that put me off because I was looking into what AA is. So I Googled stuff like, you know, is AA a cult? Are AA fundamentalists? Incidentally, when I first stumbled upon this podcast, I thought you guys were big book fundamentalists. I was actually saying, you know, the Taliban to a friend of mine.
Oh my God.
Whoops.
So
Taliban greater than yourself.
Slightly yeah. more fashionable version of the Taliban. I like to
yeah. Right. That's a little right. updated. Can I jump in with a question real quick, Leah? When you Googled, is AA a cult? Is that how you found this podcast?
Rude.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? That would be yes. like such an entryway for people.
Oh, to
yeah, we should get
we
some
sell more t-shirts.
We should get some SEO work done. Drive those
Finally,
Google search results.
Yes. Monetize. This is what we're here for.
Yes.
And so I said, okay, I'm not, this is not for me. Like, I am no way joining AA. I'm not even going to a meeting. These people are like, that's not for me. The God word. No way.
Right.
But in the end, you know, broken by alcohol, I did arrive at the gates of AA. And I remember that when they told me very quickly, because that was one of my first questions in the meeting as a newcomer, I said, what is this? You know, I'm an atheist. Like, what do we do with this God word, with this God stuff? And people will tell told me, and I think a lot of people hear this when they come to AA and they have the same doubts as I do, as I did, was don't worry about the God stuff. Mm. You know, it will come. Like, just... You know, you stick around. You just keep coming to meetings and the God word, you'll take, you know, you'll just, your sponsor will somehow explain it. You know, whatever. Right. Just don't think about it now. So, like, I have two issues with this approach. One is that it works because it makes people come back. It did for me. And I think it's like a general thing because it relieves this anxiety that you have about, you know, being converted or something, I don't know, or about not belonging here because you're an atheist. So it relieves the tension. You're like, okay, fine, great, like, wonderful. I don't have to worry about it. But then there's the second issue, which is that the explanation never comes. You never get to what the God word is. You just stick around in the meetings and hear about spirituality. Spirituality is fine. The God word isn't, but you're not even asked to touch upon it unless you actually start doing the steps and people and your sponsor starts to ask you to, you know, draw your conception of higher power right. or, you know, write about your conception of a higher power. And you obviously don't, especially as an atheist or even someone who, you know, I don't know, had some conception of a higher power or of God, but doesn't have it anymore. So it was just very deeply confusing because I really wanted to have a higher power because I knew that was what was required. And it says so in the steps, right?
Mm.
But it just wasn't happening. I was writing and writing and writing and I was, you know, imagining, I don't know, forces in the world, but it wasn't an experiential thing. It was still so much theory in my head that I was producing for myself, right?
Yeah.
So, so I was like this, there's a part that, B, our friend from New Zealand once said in a meeting, he mentioned this and I actually come back to this with sponsees because it's such a great line and it's just one paragraph on page 10 in Bill's story where he says, with ministers and the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength and direction, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. So it's not only me who came to AA with these misgivings.
Right.
Actually, the founder of AA thought thought exactly the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So I use this line with sponsees because it's such a, when people come and they say, especially people who have been in AA for a while and they have gone to shitloads of meetings, we sit down to discuss step two and they're like, I have no idea of what my conception of the God might be. Like, I don't know. And they get frustrated. And they're like, and even after step two, you know, they're still doing the steps. They're following. They've done step four. We've done step five. And they're still like, I don't have a conception of God. And I come back to this line because it's just one line, but it's just so succinct. It's just, it's perfect to actually give people some breathing space. Mm-hmm. This is what, like, not to tell them, don't worry about it, you know, but to tell them, listen, let's just start from this basis, right? And then you'll get there. Let's just go ahead. But the thing is that people resist the God word. Yeah. Very much. I have been working recently with people who are really struggling with this concept, even as they are doing the steps. They feel like this is something that they cannot overstep, you know? This is not something that they can actually integrate and go ahead. And the thing with AA and with this whole God story is that, and I come back to this is something that my sponsor told me, and I say this to my sponsees in a very similar context, is that God is an experience. It is something greater than yourself, right, that comes into your life as you do the steps. So, like, whoever is listening who's thinking, I'm not, like, this is not something that's working for me, this will never work for me, I was exactly the same way. And today, like, I don't go to church, I don't follow any religion, but I am you know, religious in a sense. Like, I'm no longer an atheist. And it did not happen because I wrote about my higher power. It happened because I just did these, you know, followed these directions from this book. And it didn't happen because, well, you know, because my sponsor believed, or because other people that I knew believed. It happened because I just did what was required and kept doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I always try to reassure my sponsees who struggle with this, to tell them that it's really not a question. I think, you know, it's really not so much a question of faith where they are at. Mm-hmm. It's a question of just following through with this process as quickly as possible. Right. If it can be done. Why? Because it gets you to a place where you can be comfortable. It gets you to a place where you can actually start thinking about this. And if you want to draw a beautiful painting of your higher power, you go ahead. Fucking A. But it's not required, right? So this is where I think, this is what we should be saying to people. At the beginning, we shouldn't be saying, don't worry about the God word. You know, don't worry about the God stuff. We should be saying, don't worry about the God stuff, but do the steps, yeah. You know, because this is what we're here for. This is like this is the main objective, right? To find this. And I, you know, when I did the steps and I read the book and it does say that the main objective of the steps is to get you connected to your higher power. It didn't register. Like, I didn't think about, this wasn't my goal. My goal was to stop craving alcohol and stop drinking. And my goal was to live a life where I can be present for my family, finally, after years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't to find something to pray to. I didn't want to pray.
Right.
You know, I hated prayer. I didn't know what prayer was. And I come from a very, very religious, very Catholic country. And I just completely eschewed, I didn't want to even look at it. That's the way I came to AA. I came to AA to stop drinking. But the thing is that to stop drinking, you just do these steps. And to stop drinking does, you know, it leads you through God or through a, you know, higher power or whatever, power greater than yourself. It doesn't lead you through, you know, drawing about it or thinking about it. Just these steps. And then it doesn't convert you, because like I think that maybe a lot of people who are listening might have the impression or might have this fear that this will convert them doing the steps, will convert, or actually, you know, reading the book, will convert them into, you know, not Taliban, but
slightly devout, more fashionable Taliban.
Yeah, devout Christians or whatever, or that they will, you know, that now they will have to go to church, or now they will, like, not at all. That's not the point. That's not the issue. The God that they're talking about in this book is probably not the God that you think that they're talking about when you join AA.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. There are few times where I think any of us in the show where we get like super specific about our own conceptions and stuff. And I think that's like really valuable in the sense that, it's not painting the picture that you have to have it figured out. Right. But I think it can also be really valuable in saying like for me specifically, when I pray, like I don't, again, this is just me, my experience. I don't believe that there is an omnipotent deity, a humanoid like, you know, figure, right, in the heavens that created everything, that I'm like trying to talk to this, like, you know, Papa God kind of thing. Like, I do not have that kind of conception about this thing. But what I do have, and the funny thing about that is that, like, if you had like a little ticker tape of all the thoughts and stuff going through my brain as I'm praying, you might think that I believe in that. Like, if you heard all the things I say in my 11 in the morning or night or throughout the day in prayer, you might think I'm speaking to some sort of conception like that. But I just don't have that conception. But I think where a lot of people get tripped up is like, is in the thing that you were talking about where it's like, you know, painting a picture or whatever, writing a list. It's like, I have to create God, you know, like you don't, right? But also it's more of like my perception of what it means when someone says that they believe in God is different now than what it was before I took the steps. And I thought very much that was that one thing, and that's what you had to have if you said you believe in God. So for me, it was really about like doing those actions, opening me up to a different perspective on things, and being able to see that there's all kinds of stuff in the world and the universe that's like some other power, some other force. And a big, big thing that happened for me as a result of the steps is being a way less black and white person and being comfortable with like not knowing, like being totally okay with living in the knowledge that like I don't have this intellectualized and figured out, and I'm cool with that. That's cool. That was very much not who I was before the 12 steps, you know? And so when I have conversations like this with someone like you're describing in sponsorship, for me, there's this thought that's sort of akin to like, you know, some people like, some people talk about animals, like whales or dolphins. They talk about them like they're just like, it's a rock. You know what I mean? Like, this is this non-sentient being. It has like no thought, you know, it's just this like thing swimming around in the ocean and no feelings, no thought, whatever, right? I know, because of stuff I've seen and heard of these incredible sea creatures, that there's like something going on in how they communicate that I don't understand, that's like bigger than them, bigger than me. And I would feel very, very like emotionally devastated were I to physically harm those creatures. Like, it would disrupt something in me, because it's like a dog. Like, I can see that dogs know that something is going on. Like, the thing is, to me, it's like where I'm at now is it's beautiful to imagine that there's something unknown that I don't have access to there, that is something else happening that I don't have to sit here and explain, but that I can appreciate. And like, for me, the mystery of like some unknown thing being there is what is so beautiful about my relationship with this thing that I call God, because I feel a connection and I feel a oneness, and I don't have to like pin it down to something. I can just seek knowledge. I can seek guidance. I can seek to be useful to people around me, and I can feel those things happen in my life. And I can feel contentment, and none of that is lessened by not understanding the like majesty behind it and not understanding the magic to it.
Mm, beautiful. There is something.
Wait, let me take a bow.
I was with you until you started talking about dogs, but that's cool.
The whales.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, cats. Too. I'll go back and I'll sub in cats.
Can you edit? Yeah, thank you. Cats.
Cats.
There is something so beautiful about not knowing and being comfortable with not knowing. Because, like, if my current knowledge and experience is as good as it gets, that's a little scary, you know? Yeah. And to your point, Leah, about, you know, the kind of don't worry about it pat on the head that we might get from people when coming in. I personally hated hearing things like that because like it felt like I'm being made fun of or I'm being patronized or like, you know, like, nah, you're not capable of hearing the answers just
yet.
Yeah. Just keep coming back. Like, ew, you know, and
not helpful.
But at the same time, you know, I don't want to rob anyone of their own personal experience with God as they understand God by going into too much detail about my personal conception, because that's irrelevant.
Right.
When God is experiential.
Yeah.
And I once thought that like God was like Build-A-Bear, you know, and you just put the qualities in that you want and pick out, you know, write down the qualities that you want in a friend. Guess what? Guess what? That's your God.
That's,
you know,
God.
Boom. I did that stuff with sponsees who are
still
alive.
That one's always weird to me because it's funny because it's like another human going, you made God. You know what I mean?
I know. And it did not occur to me how wrong that was. I was just like, yep, this is it, man.
Right.
And like, add a little glitter and like, we're done. And when I first came in, I thought that I had to already have faith and belief.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought that it was some kind of prerequisite.
Right.
But I was so desperate that my plan was to fake that, because I'm perfectly fine people pleasing. Right. So I really thought like, I'll just pretend. I can pretend to pray, whatever. If that'll somehow get me a seat and somehow get me sober, you know, none of this makes sense, but I'll go along with this cult stuff. And then I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Hell yeah. The thing that you'd mentioned about like robbing someone of their own experience, I think that's my biggest gripe. That's my biggest gripe with this topic. Because I think like with most things that we talk about, it comes from a place of good intention. I don't think there's anybody who's like putting their boots on in the morning, like, I'm gonna go to the AA.
I'm gonna go
to the AA meeting and ruin someone's spiritual development. Well, I really set off a nerve with the dogs and the whales. Leah got mad about the whales.
Yes, no, but for real.
Leah's like, I'm a Japanese fisherman. I hate whales
with their thumbs and.
Well, the other day I spoke at a meeting and I might have talked about cats a little bit, and I might have had a cat next to me meowing while I was speaking, and one of the guys shared back, you know, dogs, but or God spelled backwards is dog. So, and it was literally like it was like delivered like a rebuttal share.
It's like cross talking your cat share.
Yeah, it really was. He probably just had a really, really dry sense of humor, but it was not. It was presented as if he was correcting me, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's amazing.
That's great.
I was just thinking, you know, along the lines of just remembering how I approached AA before I entered AA, but specifically before I did the steps. And first of all, you know, the steps to someone who is just off the street, who's, you know, just passing by, that's what I meant.
Right.
They're confusing. They're not easy to understand. You don't know what any of this means. You're just seeing, you know, you're just seeing the God word as the thing specific, and you don't want to see it, you know, you don't want to go through this.
Right.
You don't want to, like, I don't know, sell yourself short in a way. And you know, contradict things you believe, because, you know, people are devoted to their beliefs and they don't want them changed. Mm-hmm. So, and the book actually talks about that, you know, that faced with alcoholic death, right? The alternative is not an easy thing to consider. So, I think that there might be a lot of people who are not willing, who are ready, who are desperate, who are real alcoholics, and they don't go into AA because they just don't want to give up their, you know, their conception of God or lack of God. And and they think that this is what we do, that we force God down people's throats, that it's, you know, that it's something that is a prerequisite, like I don't know, was it John that said that, or Mrs. Jones, that, you know, like, you need to have this faith, you need to have this conception of a higher power before you enter AA. And that is, you know, just not true. That's not what's done in AA. What's done in AA is a completely different thing, actually, but that's not that's not what the steps talk about. That's not what the book talks about. So you know, but it's also in a way a filter, because the people who actually do arrive might be ready to hear the solution. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's time and time again in the book where it's explicitly giving examples or speaking broadly about how faith is not, faith doesn't solve the problem of real alcoholism. That's not the solution.
Right.
Access to the power. That's the solution. I mean, even as early as like the Carl Jung, you know, story in there, Roland Hazard, it's like, oh yeah, well, cool. You know, I'm a man of faith. It was just like, well, yeah, but this thing is, something needs to happen for you. And on the other side of that, when it is presented that way, because I mean, let's be real. Like, I don't know about where you guys go to meetings, but like, I would think that any meeting in the town where I live now, any meeting I would walk into, there'd be someone in that meeting who'd be like, if you're new, you just gotta surrender, give it over to God. You just about God and this and that. And it's just like, that's, you know, they're saying that immediately to someone new, right? And it's like,
right.
I remember a few years ago, a family member, I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this without blowing up somebody's spot. Yeah.
Too late.
A family member was talking to me about someone else talking to them about a problem. And they were like, oh, well, you know, John Barleycorn's been doing this AA thing and that's working out really well. And the person they said that to was like, Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's like a faith thing, right? Like, I couldn't do that. Because that's like the understanding, you know? And it's just like, and it really is very much a thing like, you got to show up with faith or this ain't, you know what I mean? It's like, you have to have it.
Yeah.
And like, not my experience.
Yeah. And to the person who doesn't have faith, like they're coming in and if they hear that, all they're hearing is like, oh, you just have to give it to it. Like, I don't know what any of that is.
Yes,
know?
Yes.
And the person who already has faith is like, I already have that, you know, like I already have, you know, these religious beliefs.
Right.
And I don't need a bunch of drunks trying to change that.
Right.
And so either way, it's misplaced, you know, and it's getting ahead of ourselves. There's several places in the book where it talks about, well, I mean, it just makes sense that step one has to come before step two, you know, and like, right. And, mm-hmm. And in step two, it's not, when I'm working with somebody who is perhaps atheist or agnostic, or not, or even if they have belief, really, I like to focus on the lack of power. Not talking about the G word so much as we're talking about lack of power, because if they understand step one, or if their experience matches that can't control their drinking, but can't keep their paws off the bottle and they're miserable. Like, here's, you know, does it make sense that lack of power is what you're faced with?
Right.
And if it does, like, okay, cool. Then here's a way that you're going to be able to experience this power in a way that you haven't before, regardless of what you call it or whether you, you know, draw a picture of what you think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's the thing also with, like doing the steps and, not having a clear idea. Like, it specifically says you don't need to have a clear idea. You don't need to wait to have a clear idea, right? You don't need to pretend that you're praying or that you're actually, you know, getting closer. And no, and the best thing for me about this is that no one is the judge of that. Mm-hmm. Not your sponsor, not the people at the meeting, not anyone. Not even your ego. Like, you're not, it's okay if you don't have a specific image or idea of your higher power when you're at step two.
Right.
Or whichever step afterwards, actually, to tell the truth. But especially at step two. If you're at step two and you're writing about your conception of a higher power over and over through pages or and you're not getting anywhere, like, you don't need to do all of that. You just, there's just one sentence in the book that says you need to be willing to believe in a higher, in a power greater than yourself. And that's it. Like, for me, I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast, but when I got to that point in step two about the willingness, I was like, yeah, I'm willing. But there was like a little voice in my head saying, am I really willing? I don't know if I'm actually really, really willing. What I'm willing is to stop drinking. That I'm willing to do. Mm-hmm. But am I, you know, like, is that, because also I think that there's a lot of focus in meetings, in the fellowship and among a lot of sponsors on the willingness. You know, you really need to be willing. You not only need to have completely written out, and you need to be absolutely sure about your conception of a higher power, but you also need to be completely willing, because it, you know, you go back drinking when you're at step two, well, maybe you're not willing, or you know, you don't go to meetings, you're at step two, maybe it's the willingness, you're just not willing. But that's not what the book says, and that's not what how the process is actually structured. You don't need, you really need to be willing. I was willing maybe 15%, maybe 25%. I said I was willing 100%, but when I look back on it in my head, that percentage was much, much lower. And it still happened. Like, it's still, I am maintaining sobriety today. I pray with ease. I have a conception of a higher power. And it's not specific. even now, and that's okay, like what we discussed before. But the thing is that, it's just a question of following through with this. And I cannot repeat it enough, because I am seeing, recently I have been seeing like people that I work with who, you know, just don't. Yeah. Don't do it. And then we have these conversations about the God word and about, and I'm just going to use a real life example, but it's also my example, the punishing God of their childhood.
Yeah.
Or my childhood. And we come back to this, and it's just like, you know, we're banging our heads against this wall all the time, because, and I understand that, I really do, but it's something that is, becomes a no problem, not a you problem, not a him, just a no problem when you start doing this. And if you're at a point where, you know, you're at step 10, 11, and you're still, you know, hitting your head against the wall of the punishing God, you know, whatever, you don't have that conception of a higher power, that is also okay, because the book actually references that and says, yes, there are people who will do these steps and do them according to the book, using the directions, do them quickly and so on, and do them honestly, right? Write a proper fourth step and so on, and who will still get to a point where they're doing 10, 11, 12, and they're still not exactly, you know, they don't have that. Like, that was not my experience. I arrived at 12 with, I don't know how to talk about spirituality. I arrived at 12, convinced that a higher power was working in my life. But there are people who arrive there and they don't have that moment of, there it is, right? Something that I did experience, and that's okay, because as long as you keep on doing this and just working on these maintenance steps and seeking out people to help, it will arrive. The book is actually even full of stories of people like this. So like, if you're unsure and you're at the beginning of the steps, don't worry, just you know, push ahead.
That was actually going to be my question, was like, when did it lock into place for you? Like, at what point did it become a thing where it's like, oh yeah, I have this thing? And I think part of the confusion a lot of people have there is that the thing that shows up is an experiential one. And they do seem to be desirous of or looking for, like, a more colloquially understood spiritual thing, or like a religious thing, or some sort of conception that they've heard about or that they get an impression in the rooms on, you know, rather than like, oh, this thing actually showed up. I have this thing. Like, there's this experience I've had, and I'm just going to go, oh, that's this thing, you know, rather than like, you know, it's like the, like, was there a moment when you stopped going, I need to figure out what it's going to look like, or I need to find a specific type of thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There was, I had, you know, after 3 months of step two and writing about conception and all of that, and I'm not saying that wasn't entirely, I mean, like, you know, useless, right. I think now from my perspective today, there are just so many things that happened and experiences that I took from, which later on I think did help with the steps. But the thing is that after that experience of step two, of 3 months of just, you know, wallowing in just this wishy-washy, I don't know what, cotton candy without any specific shape, I arrived at, you know, the big book, the steps from the big book, with a, I guess, a clean slate. I just said, okay, let's just see what these people have to offer. Now, let's just do this. But because I need to stop drinking, And I know that afterwards I talked to people who did the steps in the same way that I did, and I know that people have, if people have this white thunder lightning moment while doing the steps, if that happens, because that doesn't happen always and that's completely normal, then it happens in different places for different people, which I think is just amazing. Mm-hmm. It kicks in at different stages. For a lot of people, it's already at 3. For a lot of people, it's 9. Which I can also understand, like from a rational point of view. Right. But for me, it happened at 7. Surprisingly, something the forgotten lost, my favorite steps 6 and 7, but which I can talk because it happened at 7, but not immediately. It did happen in prayer. Hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So cool. So what you're saying is you borrowed someone else's God. Did you ever? Do you ever hear that one? If you don't,
oh my God,
you can borrow mine.
If you don't have God, you can borrow my.
Like a car, you're not supposed to lend cars, but
I keep it right here in that little tiny pocket inside the pocket of my jeans. Here you go.
Yeah. Like that Ed Sheeran song. Like that.
What?
I don't know any Ed Sheeran songs. This is,
I don't either.
This is going way
you
over my head.
You don't know Ed Sheeran? Really?
No. Sorry.
We'll play it. At this point, you need to play the, it's called Photograph.
I'll drop it in.
You can keep. Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah. Oh. And you play it there. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah. What a great topic and what a great chat.
Yeah.
Very
Thank
cool.
you, Leah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks.
It's a pleasure to see you both. And wow, this is shaping up to be a really exciting season. I'm stoked for people to hear this stuff. Very cool.
Right on.
I hope you guys have, I was going to say weekend, because I'm in the middle of 2 weeks between jobs, and it just feels like a really long weekend for me. It's amazing.
So cool.
Yeah.
We only have today.
Yeah, right. No, I'm, who knows? I could get hit by the...
The piano falling from
yes,
the
Yes, exactly.
Sky. Actually,
Wile E. Coyote actually... could drop a piano on my fucking head at any moment. I love it. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. So
yes.
cool.
Thank you so much. Cheers, guys. Bye.
This has been a podcast Greater Than Yourself.
A podcast Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.